Hello, chillins. Welcome to the big church. We adults, we will behave this morning. Yes, we will. We will conduct ourselves properly and raise the children up this tall. Good morning. So I assume nobody has any school except maybe summer school, right? Summer school. Private school is still going? Oh, graduate school? Oh, it never ends? Okay. Well, no homework for the graduates, though, right? It never ends. Oh, shoot. Well, I was going to say there's no homework in summer unless you're at church. Or graduate school. That's the thing. So, good. Good. Very well. Welcome back to America. Just in time for the big day. Independence Day. We declare our independence from the tyranny of Britain. Oh, Stephen. So today we're going to talk about homework and chores and table manners for you chillins, as well as the adults. It never ends, right? Yeah, let's move it. Awesome. Let's try that. Thank you. Thank you, Rick. Rick, you always do a lot for this congregation, so thank you. Quiet man. So, children, please sit down and keep your hands and arms inside the vehicle and enjoy the ride and your stay here at Knott's Berry Farm. They always do that deep voice. Yes, my days in the entertainment are all coming back to me. Oh, man. So as you know, we are going through Ephesians, and we're kind of coming to the end here. Paul the Apostle is teaching us a little bit about what they like to call house rules, and I would like to call them chores or homework or, like I said, table manners. This week, we're picking up in chapter 5. If you guys want to go with me there, I've got a ESV this morning. Yeah, ESV. What? Those acronyms are always fun. I'm going to kind of get a running start at our passage, so just bear with me as I kind of catch us up to speed here. I'm going to skip around. I'm reading verse 17 in chapter 4. I'm still popping a little, huh? We'll work with it. Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as Gentiles do, in the futility of their minds. Now I'm skipping down. To put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Now chapter 5. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering. Verse 15, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always for everything, to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. So Paul is, he's laying down these rules, kind of like if you go to Hogwarts, you know, there's rules, right? And then maybe the principal or the leader of Slytherin might tell you a little bit different rules than the other one, right? Yeah, I didn't read the books, okay? I didn't read the books. Like, but I'm cool. I'm cool. I fit in, you know. I have watched the movies. Thank you. So it's kind of like, look, we're not in public school anymore. We behave, we're in graduate school now. So we carry our books, keep them nice and clean. You know, keep your bookmark nice and ironed. There's certain, iron your clothes. Or if you're in the military, right, iron, use starch. And don't have a, you know, not so good mustache. Have a good mustache, right? And shave the sides, nice fade. There's certain rules here, right? And Paul's doing something similar. Like any kids going into high school after this summer, it's welcome to high school, kids. You need to behave erratically and rebel to fit in. And, but don't do that. Don't listen to that. No. You must obey. Obey and submit to your teachers. So we're kind of going with a theme this morning. Paul's introducing something like submit and submission and obey as one of our rules. He addresses us individually in this next section. He starts to separate wives from husbands, slaves from slave owners or masters, which would be like a boss or an employee. So he kind of separates us a little bit. And the other one is, what is the other one here? See, children, obey your parents, right? So Paul kind of, he says everybody needs to submit, obey. Everyone's got these different facets and roles, but then he also brings us all together in that we are all a bride. And so we are all to submit to our heavenly husband, Christ. And that word submit in Greek, I don't know how to pronounce it, but it's worth a shot. Hippotasamia? Hippotasamai. Something like that. Upotasamai. And that's submit. So the root of that right in there would be, is it taxis? Which would be order. Loosely at the heart is order. That's what this guy said here. See, that's John Stott. He's my source for that. Not me. So John Stott says that submission is humble recognition of divine order of society. So we're looking for order. Paul is saying, look, let's be orderly, right? Let's obey. Let's walk away from our old selves. We have this new office, right? We're believers. We're the church. And there's a certain way to do things. And I like to look at, integrity, like Marquita says, is the soundness of soul. And so for me, this whole book of Ephesians has kind of brought out like skeletons in my closet, sort of like, man, he's calling me to be so true and so holy that like there's no room for hiding anything, like at all, like the skeletons in the closet, as we like to say. So I think about, you know, these little flaws that people have. Like, for an example, if you were to compare Mr. Rogers to Bill Cosby. He had, sorry, that was on the line of humor, but so it's like skeletons, okay? And then Mr. Rogers, there's a documentary that just came out, and he's like a solid dude. Paul's like, be the solid dude, you know? You got Mike Trout is this amazing baseball player. And then there's other guys that aren't so amazing. They get caught using something that makes them stronger, and that's against the rules, you know? So there's guys that go and abide by the rules, and they're amazing. They're like the most talented ever, and they're just flawless. Like they stand tall, you know? And that's what Paul wants for us. And that's what Paul wants for us as the church, as individuals, but also as a bride, as a corporate bride that's faithful to him. Another example would be Iron Man versus Captain America. Eh? Todd? Yeah? Does that hold up? I concur. Amen. Awesome. Another one would be Jim Morrison versus, I don't really know anyone that is righteous in them. So that was a joke. Cain and Abel, right? Okay, Bono, cool. Awesome. Awesome. Awesome, Bono. Paul McCartney, okay. So there's, you see these differences, right? Peter versus Judas. And then I'd like to look at an example in the Bible, which is Israel, who was an unfaithful wife. And Christ calls us to be a faithful wife. So if you're not familiar with the theology of the nuptial relationship between the covenant people of Israel and Christ and God, we're going to look at that a little bit this morning to kind of get us ready for the Ephesians passage. I'm going to do some jumping around. This is going to be fun. So in the Jewish culture, brides are adorned with just beautiful. They're celebrated. They're revered. And they're pure. So there's a reference here in Isaiah 62. What kid can find it the fastest? Go. Go. Isaiah 62, verse, I'm going to read 1 through 5 here. For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent. And for Jerusalem's sake, I will not be quiet until her righteousness goes forth as brightness, her salvation as a burning torch. The nations shall see your righteousness and all the kings your glory, and you shall be called by my name, that the mouth of the Lord will give. You shall be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord and a royal datum in the hand of your God. You shall no more be termed forsaken, and your land shall no more be termed desolate. But you shall be called, my delight is in her, and your land married. For the Lord delights in you, and your land shall be married. For as a young man marries a young woman, so shall your sons marry you. And as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall your God rejoice over you. So the Lord there is viewing us as, it's like so intimate. It's like a bride. He sees us as his beloved, you know? And for those of you who have been to weddings, they're like the most fun out of any ceremony, I think. They are so much fun. Just celebration, and people get just like the biggest smiles and yeah, for you young ones, you guys have something to look forward to. When your buddies get married, it's the best. You get to party. It's so great. O'Doul's, just drink a bunch. That's like soda. And so weddings are this amazing feast, right? Song of Solomon, it's like a week long, just celebrating, and the bridegroom and the bride are flirting for a whole week. It's just all good. God designed it that way. And God designed the people of Israel in a way that he woos them and he woos us. as a church. So now let's skip forward to Jeremiah 2. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Go and proclaim in the hearing of Jerusalem. Thus says the Lord, I remember the devotion of your youth, your love as a bride, how you followed me in the wilderness, in a land not sown. Israel was holy to the Lord, the first fruits of his harvest. All who ate of it incurred guilt. Disaster came upon them, declares the Lord." So there's a turn here from celebration to mourning when there was unfaithfulness. It's like you tell your best friend, "We're going to go hang out and go to the movies tomorrow." So say it's Friday, school just got out. You know, "Hey, John, I'm going to go to the movies with you on Saturday, and okay, I'll see you there." Then Monday comes, and John's like, "Where were you on Saturday? I was at the movies, and you weren't there." "Oh, I'm sorry, I hung out with my other friend, Tim." And John's like, "Oh, no." You know, and throws this, it's just sad, just, oh. You just, John's heart just broke. You know, that's unfaithfulness. That is sad stuff. It's sad. Smells. So that's what Israel did. Too much. So now I'm going down to verse 31. Jeremiah 2. Yeah, Jeremiah 2. "And you, O generation, behold the word of the Lord. Have I been a wilderness to Israel, or a land of thick darkness? Why then do my people say, 'We are free, we will come no more to you'? Can a virgin forget her ornaments, or a bride her attire? Yet my people have forgotten me, days without number." We're kind of following the brokenheartedness of the Lord. For his bride. Now Ezekiel 16, 6 through 14. I'm going to kind of PG this passage a little bit. So if I don't read it quoted perfect, it's because there's kids here. So Ezekiel 16, verses 6. "And when I passed by you and saw you wallowing, I said to you in your live. I said to you, live. I made you flourish like a plant of the field. And you grew up and became tall and arrived at full ornament. Your body was formed and your hair had grown. Yet you were naked and bare. When I passed by you again and saw you, behold, you were at the age for love. And I spread the corner of my garment over you and covered your nakedness." So this is the Lord wooing Israel. "I made my vow to you and entered into a covenant with you, declares the Lord God, and you became mine." Do you hear that heart? The Lord is calling them his. "Then I bathed you with water and washed your blood from you and anointed you with oil. I clothed you also with embroidered cloth and shod you with fine leather. I wrapped you in the fine linen and covered you with silk. And I adorned you with ornaments and put bracelets on your wrists and a chain on your neck. And I put a ring on your nose and earrings in your ears and a beautiful crown on your head. Thus you were adorned with gold and silver, and your clothing was fine linen and silk embroidered cloth. You ate fine flour and honey and oil. You grew exceedingly beautiful and advanced to royalty. And your renown went forth among the nations because of your beauty. For it was perfect through the splendor that I had bestowed on you, declares the Lord." And if you keep reading, there's just an awful heartbreak when a wife isn't faithful. She's a horrible thing. WH. So that kind of follows us. That kind of takes us into the New Testament, where it blows me away when you see the Lord so faithful. Like the Psalms say, the steadfast love of the Lord endures forever. The Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever. It's all over the Psalms. And it's so true that it's like he's been heartbroken so many times and he still puts his heart out there for us. And he still gave us the Messiah. It's like he's so good. He just takes us back. But it's just humbling is all it is. It's just like, it makes me feel safe, but it just humbles me like, man, and I don't want to hurt his heart anymore. And I see Paul's heart for the church is like, hey, you guys are the bride. You've got this amazing chance. The Lord has loved you. Let's do it right. Let's just be faithful from the get-go. Like, you Gentiles are something new, and let's go for it. Let's love the Lord. John the Baptist refers to Jesus as the bridegroom, just for the reference of the nuptial relationship for you guys. It's a good word. Spelling bee. Can any of you children spell nuptial? Anyone? Yeah. Nuptial. I'm excited because I just learned that. So I was reading I'm like, what is that word? I've read it like 6 times now in this book. I should figure out what it is. Nuptial. So this nuptial relationship carries into the New Testament. And it's our job as the church to carry on faithfully. So as we read this passage here, we're going to talk about wives and husbands, but I don't want our cultural view of submission and women, you know, versus men. I don't want that to come into this at all. I want you to think of Christ and the church that's been going on since the Old Testament. It's beautiful, it's heartbreaking, and it's still going on, and we get to be a part of this beautiful thing, okay? So, corporately, I want to read this as, we are the wives, okay? And I have some side notes I want to get to, but that'll be after. All right, let's pick up verse 21 of chapter 5. Submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church. Do you hear that? Because we are members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. So Christ has left his father and mother for us. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. So now I want to talk about these wives and husbands' roles a little bit. So not so much corporately. Pardon me. So, Paul has said in Ephesians already that we are not to be like the Gentiles. We're not to be of this world. And we're, in some sense, we're freed from sin. We're freed from that old lifestyle. He's like the George Washington or like the John Adams of the Declaration. So just as the church is to behave as a good wife and faithful, Paul is saying, okay, so marriages on earth should look like that too. So wives ought to submit and obey their husbands. Husbands ought to lead them and love them as if it's their own body. And it seems to me that we kind of twitch about this passage. I've heard people talk about it and... it seems so funny that, like, we would get all defensive about submitting and obeying because isn't that the way we became saved? Is because Christ submitted to the Father and obeyed the Father. And so all of salvation is from those two characteristics. But we get all upset about it that the wives are called to do that. But it's like, wait, that's like the greatest honor that Jesus had was to obey and submit to the Father. So what's so scared? Like, what is, you know, what's so offended about, what's so offensive about that? And the other thing, too, is that this isn't just for the wives. This is for the whole church, right? So as the whole church, we're supposed to be submissive and obedient wife to the Lord. So this is, in a sense, this is our, you know, private school dress code for the church, right? So we're a bride. We are supposed to dress pure and white with all these beautiful ornaments. And he's saying, if you go over here and jump into sin, if you go hang out with those friends, you're going to get dirt on this thing and you might lose a couple jewels. And it's just really, it's just sad, you know. It's heartbreaking for the Lord when he's wanting and pleading for a bride, and then he comes and sees just like, you know, Bridezilla. Rah, rah, rah. You know, I've been in this and that, and I'm still in the world. And he's like, no, I love you anyway. But like, we're supposed to be celebrating, not addressing those things, those skeletons, you know. So the whole church is called to be a wife. Another really cool thing that Paul's doing here is Paul's saying, look, the church is to submit. You guys are all to submit to each other. You are all to be obedient. And what he's saying, too, is obey this letter that I'm writing, right? So if you guys are going to be this wife, be these people that are dressed up as part of this new, you know, integrity of the soul, this new self, we are to be obedient. Stick back to the notes here. I want to read Revelation for you guys. Revelation Revelation 21. This is the revelation that John saw. So I'll start here in verse 1 of 21. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away." Skipping down to verse 9. Then came one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues and spoke to me, saying, "Come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb." And he carried me away in spirit to a great high mountain and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, its radiance like a most rare jewel, like a jasper, clear as crystal. So that's how God sees us, right? We're this amazing, jewel, beautiful, decorated. That's what the church needs to be. And, you know, the heart of Paul is like, let's get cleaned up for this thing. Let's get cleaned up for this wedding. It's coming. Like, I want to present you just like a husband, just how I need to treat my wife. Like, I want to present her to the Lord, like at the end of this thing when I'm 80 and on a walker and gray hair, and it's like, look, Lord, I kept her right. I kept her pure. She's holy. She's better than when I met her by the grace of God. And that's how we are to present ourselves as the church at the end of this thing. Like, look, Lord, we, like, your son has done this, right? Your son has made us, given us a clean dress, all these jewels. And he's like, yeah, that's right. You guys are so attractive. I love you. Like, let's celebrate. And there's no more tears. And it's like, there's so much glory waiting. All we got to do is just keep living like the bride, keep obeying what the Lord says, and wait for him to come back. And it's going to be a beautiful celebration, better than, you know, high school graduation, or better than going from the fourth grade to the fifth grade. This is like the big celebration. This is the main deal. So as we practice holiness and practical holiness, I believe that we deck ourselves out with jewels for the Lord. We are a loved wife. We are so loved. So let's live like it. All right. We got some homework. Sorry, kids. Ah. You're like, I was just zoned out. Now you said homework and I'm back. So homework, everyone, is to work on our heart as a faithful and obedient wife, to read Psalm 119 this week. Read Psalm 119, and let's see what the Lord does with that.
Did you read that today?
No, it's pretty long. I do like to read from the Bible, but not that much. In a sermon, sorry, in a sermon. All right. Yeah.
Ephesians 5, and then you went to one other place.
Revelation or Isaiah? Jeremiah. There's also Hosea if you want to do some Yeah, if you want to do some research, there's Hosea's got a lot of it. So I believe that the Lord would call us to live in this nuptial relationship with the Lord, to live in this bride and bridegroom fashion, and to see it as that, to corporately see it as that, to corporately say, Lord, we wish to clean ourselves of the skeletons. We wish to just wear this dress and this beautiful outfit you've given us to live pure and be your pure bride and stay faithful. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that as we live our lives, that it'd be honoring to you, it'd be attractive to you, all because of the blood of Jesus, because of the grace you've given us. I pray that we would look like you in our marriages. We would have that characteristic of submission and obedience in our work, and it just being kids and being in school. Lord, I pray that we would be that faithful bride that you long for. To your glory, Jesus. Amen. Amen. We're doing communion.